You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. Now, here's Justin Fielder, Derek Stafford, and Tyler Schaefer.
Hello and welcome to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. Justin here along with the cousins, Derek and Tyler. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, at Husker Cuzcast, for all podcast updates and more. Guys, this is one of our favorite episodes of the year. It's a great off-season topic that we like to play. And that is the better, same, worse for position groups. We always enjoy this one. It's a good off-season topic. We do have something to bring up real quick before we get into the podcast. And that involves the Nebraska Podcast Awards show. We will be in Omaha at the Nebraska Brewing Company for this event in August. Get out and vote. Voting ends tomorrow, Wednesday, July 19th. You can find the voting information on Twitter or at our Facebook page. Look at for Husker Cuzcast, and that information is there. The categories that we are in is MVP. All podcasts are in there. We're in there for the Comedy Award. We like to argue, and somehow we are number one on the airwaves category. We were not vetted for that, obviously, but who cares? Go vote for us anyway. Tyler, are you looking forward to this Nebraska Podcast Award show?
Oh, I really am. I mean, it's really cool community we have here. Excited to be part of it. I really think we have a shot to win a couple of these. So please get out and vote. Yeah, I mean, who argues more than the cousins? I mean,
that's true.
I mean, one episode Justin's positive, the next episode he's negative, and somehow Derek just goes right around opposite. It's amazing. So, yeah, it should be fun. I'm excited to get together.
It's easy to argue with Justin.
Well, just
because he's always wrong. It's easy to argue.
It's easy to argue, but it's not easy to win an argument against me. That's what it is.
I don't know if there is ever a winner in any of our arguments.
The audience wins in our arguments. That's who wins. So, yeah, get out there and vote. Let us know that you vote. It'll be a fun time. And also get out to the Nebraska Podcast Awards show. It'll be a fun time. Lots of beer. We're big fans of beer, right? All right, let's get into the better, same, or worse categories. So the way that we're doing this is we're going to go position by position group. We'll mention the key losses, key returners, key transfers, and impactful freshmen. So I'm going to kick it off here with the quarterbacks. Headed into 2023, so we are better, same, or worse than last year. Key losses, we lose Casey Thompson, that quarterback who had 2,400 yards passing and at a 63% clip, 17-10 ratio with TDs to interceptions. And we lose Logan Smothers, who had minimal stats. Key returners, we return Chubba Purdy. I don't know if he's a key returner, but he did have two starts last year. Key transfers, Jeff Sims is the big one. He is the big one for Nebraska. 23 starts at Georgia Tech. Runs the ball great. Dual threat guy. He can throw the ball a little. An impactful freshman. So I like this this quarterback room that we have here coming in. Henrik Harburg, he's also on the roster. So we kind of have, it's not looking great, behind Jeff Sims, but there's some talent there, even though it may be a little raw. I have this as a worse group than last year. Derek, how do you see this quarterback group?
Oh, it's by far worse. It's, I don't think there's even a question about it.
By far worse.
I'm not, yeah, I'm not 100% sold on Jeff Sims. But even if he is as good as advertised, you realize that since we've been in the Big 12 or Big 10, 8 of the years we've had to have a backup quarterback start a game. That's 8 out of 12. I mean, guys, so and he's been injury prone. So we have to have a backup quarterback, and I have like zero trust in Purdy. Henrik Harburg's had zero time playing in college football. Statistically, Jeff Sims has struggled through his career. So I think losing Casey Thompson was just an absolute kick in the balls. And I'm scared of what this quarterback room could look like.
Wow. Tyler, are you that harsh?
Well, this is tough. Am I that harsh? I would say I'm not as harsh on the backups as Derek. I don't think Chubb Purdy got a fair shot last year. I mean, he was injured when he got thrown in there. I don't know if we've seen enough of him to say his athletic ability is a lot better than people give credit to. I think that he looked decent in the spring game. I think he is clearly our number two quarterback heading into the fall. And so I don't think that is, I mean, you know, last year our number two quarterback was him or Smothers. Do I think a healthy Chubb Purdy is better than the Chubb Purdy we saw last year? I think the answer is yes. Where I'm aligned with you guys worse is Jeff Sims. Here's the thing. Jeff Sims is a dynamic runner. He is a far better runner than what Casey Thompson gave us last year. I don't know if he's Adrian Martinez good. Is he Tommy Armstrong good? Maybe. He's in that category. He sure is quicker than Tommy. And Tommy obviously was very athletic. What scares me about Jeff Sims is his passing. Last year, he had 13 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. He threw for 54%, 54.9% of his passes. So Derek's disagreeing with my stats, and so he disagrees with
your stat. Your stats are wrong.
Yeah, stats are wrong.
He was injured last year. He only had 5 touchdowns and 3 interceptions.
He played 6 games last year.
That's his career stats.
No, his career stats, he's got 30 touchdowns and 23 interceptions.
Passing? That's not what ESPN says.
That's what CFB stats says.
Well,
he's got 1,155 yards rushing and 11 touchdowns.
We've gone through this, Tyler. Do not use ESPN as a source.
I know.
They are
not
trustworthy.
I know. You're probably right. But regardless of which, his stats aren't great. Throwing the football. He has not definitely been a thrower that Casey Thompson is. I dare say that going into 2023, this is the worst I felt about a starting quarterback in the last 10 years. I mean, it is really scary. Yes.
Wow. That's right, because you were really optimistic on the Adrian Martinez when he had his really bad years.
I was high on Adrian.
Even in his bad years, Adrian Martinez was good 90% of the time. It was just in crunch time that he was terrible.
Right, and it's not like Jeff Sims is a protector of the football. It's not like he is like Mr. Conservative and isn't going to make the big mistakes or has all these wins to point to as success. I mean, again, with Casey Thompson, he had his warts when he came here, but you could at least point to a couple games and say, look what he could do. Look what he could do. And I don't think you have that with Jeff Sims. And I know it sounds like I'm being really harsh on him and because his athletic ability is good, but I've generally felt good about our quarterback play at Nebraska. I think we have a high bar to keep up with. I just think Jeff Sims is a little bit lower than what we've seen.
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, truthfully, it is fair, but I still like him. If he can stay healthy the entire year, I liked what I saw out of him in the spring game. I liked that the coaching staff gave him plenty of opportunities from first quarter through the fourth quarter to showcase his ability. I think he can throw. I think he's going to have a lot better weapons at Nebraska than he did at Georgia Tech. But you're right. He is no Casey Thompson, which made me give him the worst. But I'm not going far worse, is what Derek was saying. So You're saying worse.
It sounds like Tyler and I are fairly agreeing. I mean,
well, is it far worse?
He's pointing to all the same facts that I'm leaning to. I'm just seeing it as far worse than he is.
I guess I disagree with the far worse is when I look at the room as a whole. I guess I wouldn't say it's far worse. I think we'll see a better Chubba Purdy if we need him this year. While I think it stinks losing Logan Smothers, I do think another year in the system, I think Chubba Purdy can be better. I just think if you are saying starting quarterback to starting quarterback, I think it's significant drop.
Here's where I'm going to disagree with you on Chubba Purdy. You talk about being in his second year in the system, but it's a completely different system. So it's not even as
fair. That's fair.
I understand they're all in a new system, and that is what it is. But I don't know. I guess it's a bad taste in my mouth after watching Chubba Purdy last year.
I mean, all right. Yeah, that's fair.
All right, let's move on to running backs. Tyler.
Yeah. So key losses. We have a couple guys last year. AJ Allen and Jonquan Zant have both departed in the transfer portal. Key returners, Gabe Irvin, Ramir Johnson, and Anthony Grant. No notable transfers or really incoming freshmen of note. So when I look at this room, obviously the headline is returning of Anthony Grant. I hopefully got these stats right so you don't mock me again, but last year ran for 915 yards and 6 TDs. So obviously had a great season last year. Obviously put forward a really good effort leading the team. We did lose our number two rusher in A.J. Allen, who had 190 yards. And Gabe Irvin returns, which is shocking because I feel like, you know, he had a better year last year until I looked at his stats and saw he only had 95 yards rushing. And 60 of those came against Oklahoma, which was his career high in rushing. So Gabe Irvin's been injured a lot. So, I think there's a lot of hype around him. But right now, he hasn't really produced on the field consistently to get there. But all things considered, when I look at this room compared to last year, I think Anthony Grant coming back is going to be big. I think actually giving Ramir Johnson the football could actually help out quite a bit. And I do think Gabe Irvin will be somewhat of a bigger contributor than we've seen over past years. While I don't entirely buy all the hype with him, so I'm going to say this is a better room. This is it's an upgrade over last year, basically just returning everything we had.
Derek,
and that's why I went with same. We have basically the same guys without AJ Allen. I mean, Jonquan Zant was basically non-existent last year. I mean, they didn't give him the ball much. He didn't run much.
I didn't even count him as a key loss.
I mean, he, in years past, maybe, but last year he really was not a factor. And we're basing this off last year. So losing AJ Allen kind of sucked, but at the end of the day, somebody had to go. And I was glad that Anthony Grant stayed. I was really glad to see Ramirez Johnson stay because I still think he's a great athlete that's going to be good on the field somewhere. And Gabe Irvin, again, Tyler, you hit on it. If he could stay healthy, I think he could be a beast. But it's hard to go better when I'm basically judging off what I seen him do last year, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Derek. I have this room as same. I was leaning a little bit better, and it'll probably be a little bit better than the same. But that AJ Allen, I'm sorry, that is a huge loss. That is a key loss right there. You know, he got injured last year. He only played 4 games, but the flashes of brilliance that he looked when he had the football. I mean, that dude looked like a guy that you wanted to be in your program for all 4 years. That's who you wanted to see in your backfield. And losing him, that was tough. Grant's he's the bell cow. He's going to carry the team. And I know Gabe Irvin, you know, he's all jacked and all yoked up. You know, he's been working out. That dude is one of the guys that you want to get off the bus first. But, I mean, we have to see it on the field. He's with the injuries. There's been a little bit of flashes. But then there's been a lot of just mediocre carries also. That's probably going to improve with a different offensive line or improved offensive line. But and Ramir Johnson, I don't know where he's going to fit in this. I just don't know where he's going to fit in this offense. It just seems like every year, you know, he just doesn't have a seat at the table for whatever reason. It doesn't make sense. But I have Sam also.
And again, it's fair what you guys are saying about Sam, because obviously we didn't really add anything. We're not really young in that position. But can I just like point to the fact that Anthony Grant, like, I think a new coach could really help him. Last year, I feel like he was his own worst enemy because he got happy feet sometimes. And we saw what he could do when he had his best games. And if you could just get a coach and a staff that can just rein him in and just get that version of him. Like, think about the Indiana game and the games where he just played really well last year. He looked like an all-Big Ten type guy. I think he only had 1 year at Nebraska. But a new coaching staff, I think, can get him better. That's why I kind of went best, because I really do think I see him taking a good step forward this year. And, you know, and again, some of that will be offensive line driven, but I think actually getting him to be a little bit more downhill, learning from his mistakes, getting a little less happy feet, I think will do him a lot of well. And that's why I went better there.
Wasn't a lot of the happy feet more like offensive line? I mean, that was the reason he had the happy feet, is there's like nowhere to go at times.
I think that was the start of it, right? I think that's why he started to do that. But then they got to a point where he did that in spite of what the blocking was doing. I mean, the line didn't give him a lot to work with last week. I'm not defending the offensive line play.
I'll agree with Tyler there. I think it probably started that way, but it seemed like a lot of times he was just trying to bounce outside to get the edge.
Yes.
Whether he was supposed to or not.
And it got worse as the season went on.
Sometimes I think there was holes that he probably could have made, and he probably could have got 4 or 5 yards. But instead of taking the 4 or 5 yards, he was trying to bounce outside and get a bigger play.
All right, so for running backs, I have same, Derek has same, and Tyler, you have better. Next category is wide receivers. Derek.
All right, so for key losses, we lost Trey Palmer, which is a massive loss. And then I put down Oliver Martin and Alante Brown. I don't know if they would be really key, but they were up there as far as receptions and yards went. Key returners, you got Marcus Washington coming back. I want to say Isaiah Garcia, Castaneda, and Xavier Betts, but neither one of them. I mean, Castaneda lasted, what, 4 games last year before entering the portal, and Xavier Betts never played a game last year because he quit on the team before the season started. But I bring them up because of their potential. The key transfers, we got Billy Kempin. And then for impactful freshman, I all I have right now really is Malachi Coleman. But I know Tyler's going to just cringe over this, but I've been a little bullish on these guys. I think this room's better. I really do, because I think getting Xavier Betts back and hopefully Isaiah Garcia Castaneda can get back to what he started the season with. And Marcus Washington, I think, is going to be a good receiver. And Malachi Coleman, I think, will come in and play impactful time. And I think Billy Kemp is better than what Tyler's going to think. We've already had conversations about this, so I know where he stands on him. But we have to replace Trey Palmer, which is tough to replace. But we don't need one guy to replace Trey Palmer. I can have 3 or 4 guys replace Trey Palmer.
Okay.
Yeah, Tyler? I think we're worse in this position group. I think this is the worst wide receiver room Nebraska's put on the field in maybe the last 25 years. It's not good. You're talking, when Derek was talking about guys that like we're counting on, we're talking about a guy who didn't play last year because he quit. We talked about another guy who played in one good game and then quit. We talked about a guy who was injured at Virginia most of the year. We're talking about a 7th-year senior out of Baylor who you didn't even mention contributing. We're talking about one of the 7 true freshmen we're bringing in to contribute, and Marcus Washington, who I think is actually a good player. Now, Billy Kemp, I do think, can play. I think he will definitely be in the vibe. Like, he's going to vie for that number one wide receiver spot. But I don't think he is Trey Palmer. I don't think he's Samori Torrey. I don't think he's Stanley Morgan. I don't think he's Jordan Westerkamp. I don't think he is Quincy Enunwa. I don't think he's Kenny Bell. And these are the guys we're talking about as number one wide receivers we've had over the last 15 years.
All right. Hold on. I want to ask you this, Tyler. So do you know where Billy Kemp would rank at Nebraska if he had all of his receptions and yards at Nebraska?
Where?
All time. At wide receiver.
I'm going to guess top three.
Well, he would be first in receptions.
He is fourth in Virginia's history in receptions, okay? But yeah.
And he would be seventh all time in reception yards.
Okay. But he didn't.
So he's proven. Like, here's my thing. Like, we all put all of our eggs into the basket of Trey Palmer last year before he ever played a down. And this guy's actually proven in Power 5 football, and we're damning him because we don't think he's Trey Palmer.
Okay, so my question is, so Derek, what did Billy Kemp do last year?
He was injured.
Was he injured? Because I didn't see any report that he was injured.
Yeah, because they have a lot of good injury reports out in college football.
I get it. I understand that there's not always transparency.
And I follow Virginia football like you follow
Virginia football. Like I follow Virginia football.
Wait, you guys don't do a Virginia podcast on the side?
I don't want to make it sound like I think Billy Kemp isn't going to be a factor. He isn't going to play. But even if I give you Billy Kemp, even though I don't think he's going to be Trey Palmer or any of those guys I mentioned, after him and Marcus Washington, it just falls off. Like, do you have that much confidence in Xavier Betts? Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Okay.
He's an athletic freak.
Okay. So if I told you right now, over under Xavier Betts 500 receiving yards next year.
I don't need him to get that, because you know how much I need? You know what I need four receivers to get to replace Palmer, Oliver Martin, and Alante Brown?
How much?
I need 364 yards out of four different receivers.
Okay. Name the four wide receivers that are going to give her 360 yards.
Billy Kemp. Marcus Washington. I'll go Xavier Betts and Malachi Coleman.
Okay, so if I said we can bet a straight up bet over 360 yards, you have that much confidence? Because I'm not even confident Xavier Betts is going to play in six games. I hope he does. I will also tell you this.
We're also not going to be in a pass happy offense that we were in last year. So I'm also not going to need to replace all of these stats by Trey Palmer, because we're actually supposed to have a running game.
We should. I just think this wide receiver room is very lacking. I just think it's really lacking. I mean, Justin, what do you think on it?
I think I put same, because I wasn't impressed with the wide receiver unit last year, and we're not better than last year. You know, you keep talking about who's going to be that number one wide receiver, who's going to be like the Trey Palmer, who's going to be the guy that's going to go get you your number one target. I don't know who that guy is. It could be Marcus Washington. I know you keep saying you don't need that guy, but the team needs that guy.
You don't need that guy. Wouldn't it be better to have four different guys you could pass to rather than just trying to pass the same guy all the time?
So tell me the year that Nebraska had that.
I think this is a good year that we could have it.
Because I can't remember the year that we didn't get by with at least one 2-punch. But we've had that number one guy for a very long time.
There's going to be a favorite. You know, Jeff Sims is going to have a favorite target. And I don't know who that guy – I don't know who it can be. Maybe it's Marcus Washington. I mean, if I had to guess Washington would be our alpha.
If I judged off the spring game, I would say it's Billy Kemp. I mean, that's who it seemed like he was trying to throw to a lot.
Yeah. The other concern I have with this room is, I hope Xavier Betts plays well. I hope Malachi Coleman comes in and contributes right away. I also think while I don't think we need 6-7 wide receivers this year, I do worry if we have one injury. We're like one injury away from me being really terrified of what this room is going to look like. You can say that in most years, but this year it just seems in particular the depth gets really scary when you have seven freshman scholarships. I mean, outside of those guys, you look at you have five upperclassmen scholarships.
But let me ask you this. Isn't this a position where you would rather have freshmen play as opposed to, like, offensive line?
Sure. I mean, wide receiver, you in theory.
I mean, wide receivers and running backs play freshmen all the time.
Yeah, you're right. If I had to pick, I would rather that. But we had very few of these guys in camp. I think we had one wide receiver in camp out of the freshmen. So it's not like we had a lot of guys getting snaps. I know Malachi Coleman basically was in camp. He was at every practice.
Every practice, yeah.
But
he knows what they're doing out there.
Yeah. So, and again, he's one of the, he's the guy I think will contribute this year. I don't know. I am very nervous. And that kind of goes a little bit of my fear on Jeff Sims. I mean, I don't think he's going to have the safety valves that other quarterbacks have had.
I just think we have, athletically, we have better talent than what we've had in a lot of years. Because I think Xavier Betts is an athletic freak. I think Malachi Coleman is an athletic freak. I think Billy Kemp, while not being an athletic freak, he is a very serviceable guy that can get you a lot of yards.
I mean, I think we have a lot of guys that would be great backups. I still think that we need a number one guy. Like, and I don't see any of these guys as like a true number one.
I guess.
But to like Tyler's point, when he was going back and naming all the number one wide receivers, going back, man, we went back into the Bo Pelini days to reach out for guys.
I thought about throwing Nate Swift in there. I thought about keep going back because we've had it for a while. I mean, yeah.
None of these guys can be, but there's like nobody that's obvious. Usually headed into the season, you know who that guy is going to be.
So,
and we don't know.
So, Derek, you talked about stats for Billy Kemp. One stat I want to bring up is how many touchdowns does he have in his career?
8.
Okay, and how many seasons did he have more than one touchdown? 1. The answer is 1. He had 6 touchdowns his junior year and 1 touchdown in his sophomore and freshman year.
All right. Yeah, you're right. Okay. I did.
ESPN says
is this his fifth year?
Yeah.
This is his fifth year, right?
Yeah, this is going to be a fifth year. I actually think it's technically 6 because I think he redshirted, but...
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think he redshirted as a freshman. So, yeah, I don't know. I am hoping Billy Kemp is everything you think he's going to be. I want to buy I'll buy a jersey if he is.
All right. This is one that we obviously do not see eyes with. To recap, Derek, you have the wide receiver room better. Tyler, you have worse, and I have it same. Moving to the tight ends. Key losses, Travis Vokolek. He went as an undrafted free agent to the Baltimore Ravens. He had 240 yards, 2 touchdowns last year. That is what we lose at the tight end position. Key returners, this is tough. I'm throwing Nate Burkercher in there because I think he's going to be a dude that's going to play a lot this year. And Thomas Fedoni, I mean, you have to throw him in there. He hasn't done anything on the field yet. But he's in a lot of highlight videos, and all the coaching staff, they really like him. He looks the part. He could be the part. We just haven't seen it. But I have to throw Thomas Fedoni in there. You have to give him his cred there. Key transfers, Eric Gilbert out of Georgia. He had minimal stats at Georgia, but he had a really good freshman campaign at LSU where he caught 368 yards and 2 touchdowns. Impactful freshman. I'm just going to give a shout out to Ismael Smith-Flores. And the only reason I am doing that is because he played for Bob Wager, the tight end coach, when Bob Wager was at Arlington Martin. So there's familiarity there. So he knows how his tight end coach coaches because he coached him in high school football all those years. So maybe that could be the catalyst to get on the field. And overall, I put the tight end room as better. But a lot of that has to do with just like Fedoni panning out, not being injured, and Eric Gilbert being as good as he was in his freshman campaign. But I know I could get butchered here. I know I'm going to get butchered. I see Derek's face.
Hell, yes, you are. You guys just hammered me for talking about potential in the wide receiver room and how there wasn't enough experience and this and that. I mean, there's zero experience with Thomas Fedoni. He's had like 10 snaps in his football career in Nebraska. Eric Gilbert, we don't even know if he's going to be able to play yet because he hasn't even got his waiver yet. So we could be relying on Nate Burkercher, who had 6 receptions for 52 yards last year.
You know who?
This room's worse.
You know
this room's worse.
You know who?
With some potential. There's a lot of potential in this room, But they're worse. They're worse off without Travis Volkolek right now.
I don't know.
So I'm going to go same. I am closer to you, Derek, than Justin. I was back and forth. This is one of two position groups I went back and forth on between same or between two categories. And I ultimately went same. Travis Volkolek was a good player. I don't think he lit the world on fire. So I don't think losing him is going to be irreplaceable. And I think that the potential is definitely there. And I think, Derek, you're being a little hard on Nate Bjorkstrand. Like, I know that he didn't light the world on fire, but you know who had only had 10 more receptions last year than him? Your boy, Billy Kemp. So, I mean...
he played in half the games that he played in, too.
Well, Billy Kemp's a wide receiver, and he was a third-string tight end last year. So, like, I mean, let's just split the difference and say that I don't think we're that bad. I do think the potential is great. Well,
let's also not forget that you're going to sit here and talk about Thomas Fedoni, and you're hammering me about Billy Kemp being injured.
Well, I mean, that's fair. I mean, right? Like, so again, I'm aligned with you. I'm closer to you because there is potential for this room just to fall apart. I mean, there is, but I do think, again, I'm right on that edge of worse and same. I do give the edge because of potential. I mean, if these guys start clicking, but the other name that you have not mentioned yet is the guy who changed rooms that I think could be a difference maker
in Jerry and Bonner. Yeah,
because
yeah.
I think him moving for tight end and what we saw out of the spring game, I know he's at H-back. I think he could give us a little bit of something out of that room that we didn't have. He's bulked up. He's done the part. Again, some of this isn't necessarily... I don't think this is a good room. I don't think this is at all. I also don't think we were a good room last year.
And that's why I gave it better, because I think this room can get over 300 yards receiving.
Maybe.
Maybe?
If Fedoni's healthy, I believe we can.
Yeah, that's really where my head was. It's like, okay, so if I'm ranking the position groups, I know we're not doing that today. This would probably be my second worst. I mean, it's not a good room, but I don't think it was a good room last year. So I think it can at least hold, but it does have the potential to really be great. It really can be really special this year.
I have to tell you guys, this is one thing I thought about for a little while today on Eric Gilbert. The Nebraska part of me really hopes he gets this waiver because he's got great potential too. And I seen his stats at LSU. They look good. The college football fan in me hopes to God that he does not get a waiver and gets punished for transferring to his third school in a matter of, what, 3 years?
God, you're a sicko. You're a sicko.
Yeah, that's messed up, man.
No, that's fine. I mean, like I said, the Nebraska fan in me wants him to be able to play, but I mean, I'm just tired of the transfers. And then they all just get waivers anyway. I don't understand why we even punt. What's the point of the transfer portal if you're just going to let them? I mean, you made one rule. You could transfer once without sitting out a year. And now, well, here we go. With this guy transferred a second time. So, we'll probably give him a waiver and let him play anyway. What the hell's the point of the rules then?
There are no rules. Unless there are
only rules. The only rule is win.
That's it. All right. So, Derek, you have worse for the tight ends. Tyler, you have same, and I have better. Now, the last position group on offense is offensive line. Tyler.
Yeah. Key losses. Trent Hickson and Brock Bando are both gone. I also put Kevin Williams as a key loss. Debatable on that. I think he did start a game last year, but key returners, lots of names I can name here. Teddy Peraska, Ethan Piper, Bryce Benhart, Turner Corcoran are all key returners. And transfers in, Ben Scott and Jacob Hood. One name I have not mentioned, which I guess you could call a key returner, is Nwelly. Now, he did not play last year, so I was kind of on the fence if I should count him as a returner or not, but he definitely goes with mentioned because I think he is a very big part of why I believe our offensive line is going to be better. I think the addition of him and Ben Scott into this offensive line room going into this year is a really big upgrade to what we saw in our interior last year. I think Ethan Piper definitely upgraded his game last year, I think he played a lot better. And now you add in the fact that hopefully Teddy Peraska sounds like he is good to go coming out of the spring. Bryce Benhart has gotten rave reviews from the coaches so far, and you still have a high four-star in Turner Corcoran who started every game last year that you'll find a spot for. I think this offensive line room has clearly is going to be better than last year. Now, similar to tight end, I'm not saying this offensive line is going to be great. I think it's still a below average group, but it is clearly in the upward trajectory, and I'm actually pretty excited for what they can do this year.
Derek?
Tyler, I'm kind of with you on this one. I hate to agree with you ever, but I'm with you on this one. Four of these guys, really, regardless of who you put in there, have played together. So they got their chemistry. I mean, they're in their second year with their coach, so they can get a chance to get that going with them. I think Ben Scott was an absolute great transfer. I have them slightly better. I'm not going to go as far as to call them greatly better, but I think they're slightly better.
So I agree with better also. You named six guys that, it feels like we're six deep at offensive line between Noelle, Piper, Ben Hart, Corcoran, Teddy, and Ben Scott. But we're actually seven deep because Henry Litovsky, if he has to come in at guard, I mean, that's another solid guy that I don't lose faith in at all if he has to come and take snaps. So we actually are seeing a little bit of depth now at offensive line, where in previous years, we were just an injury away from being decimated, and we weren't even that good anyway to even take that injury. But I think I like personnel-wise. Donnie Raiola, he still has to keep on building because that offensive line last year was not good, but it's going to be better. I think with the right mentorship that he has, I see this as a better, much better.
Well, to add what you're talking about, just having seven guys there that you could trust, it's not just injuries. It's like, okay, I personally think Corcoran is a better guard than he is than ever was a tackle. So I think he'll find a home at tackle. But if he continues to struggle at guard, I've got a few guys behind him that I can go, okay, let's switch him out.
Yeah.
Well, and I know we're really talking about 2023, but the thing about this room I love is there's not one senior on this roster. I mean, this is a group that he's a junior eligibility, according to 24/7 or on three. I mean, they're all been around for a while. The COVID year messes up, but according to on three, he has junior eligibility. But you look at what Rayola is doing on the recruiting trail. You look at this room as it sits today. Like, there is a lot of things to be very excited about in the upcoming seasons. And I think this is like we went from the worst offensive line in the Big Ten or damn near it. I think we start moving towards average, but we're a year or two away, I really do believe, from being one of the top three or four offensive line groups in the Big Ten. I think this is a big year, a big step in that journey. Go Donnie.
Go Donnie. All right, so to recap the offensive line, all of us have the offensive line better. Moving to defense, Derek, you have defensive line.
All right, we got key losses. We got O'Shawn Mathis, Garrett Nelson, Colton Feast, Stephon Wynn, Devin Drew. A lot of losses there. Key returners, I got Ty Robinson and Nush Hotmacher. Key transfers, we got Elijah Judy coming in. I'm counting Kai Wallen as a transfer. I know he's JUCO. That's always such a gray area, but I'm going to count him as a key transfer. Incoming or impactful freshman, I think we've already seen it with Prince Will Uman Milan and Cameron Lenhart. Like, we've seen him in the spring game, and I think these guys are going to be difference makers, and they're going to get a lot of playing time this year. Riley Van Poppel is another high recruit that I think – I don't know if he'll see the field a lot, but I want to mention him just because he was a high recruit, and who knows? Who knows what he can do? As far as this room's still worse. Like, we lost a lot of people. We lost a lot of good people. And a lot of the talent that we do have is unproven. I think Elijah Judy could be really, really good, but – he didn't play a lot at Texas A&M. Is that where he came from, I believe? Kai Wallen was a really good JUCO guy. But Ty Robinson's our main guy here. He's the only one we really have anything to put any weight on. And so until we can get some proof out of this pudding, I gotta go worse.
Yeah, and I think the fact remains that having to most likely rely on a couple of freshmen coming in with Cam Lenhart and Principal Umamelin, I mean, that just shows how decimated this defensive line is. Future looks good, though. They're bringing in a lot of talent that'll look good, but in 2023, oh my God, this could be ugly. This has a chance to become ugly in Big Ten play.
So I don't agree. Go ahead. Better say worse, Justin.
Oh, it's worse. It's worse. This is the easiest worse this is the biggest drop off out of all position groups.
So,
it's a toss up between this and quarterback for me.
This is wide receivers is the correct answer there, but that's fine.
wow.
So it is worse. It is worse. But I will say this: I don't agree with your stance that this is a bad position group. I think last year was a pretty good position group. I think these freshmen are going to play. I think Ty Robinson he can play. Where this position falls apart is depth. Like there is just when you're counting on true freshmen, I think they can go out.
Well, that's
there
and what give I'm you, getting at. Yeah, that's
why they can give you 15 to 20 snaps. I think they're going to play really well. But obviously, we're not just putting them out there for 20 snaps. They're going to be putting them out there for 30, 35. I mean, that's where this gets concerning to me. But I do think this is – I don't think this is a trash position group. I think this is a – I think it's a decent room. I think this is a decent room, just not quite there at depth at this point in juncture
I think of this room like I think of the tight ends. I think it's worse with a lot of potential.
The problem with this defensive line group is – we're not going to be able to see these guys against a patsy. I mean, they are going to go up against Minnesota very first game. Minnesota always has kick-ass offensive lines. So they're going to be put to the test right away. If they hold their own, then it's going to look good. But if they get steamrolled, that is the matchup that we want to be watching, is offensive line versus our defensive line in game one.
Sure.
And
a name that I don't know if you mentioned, Derek, and I know there's probably maybe you did and I missed it, and there might be a little bit of controversy about where he's playing, but Blaine Gunnarsson.
Blaze.
It's still Blaze.
You need to change the name to Blaine because I can call him the right name. but I apologize. At least I give him a shout out. Like, I think he's actually a guy that can come in and start. I think he is that kind of contributor. I was trying to play around with the depth chart. And I think we know Robinson. I think we know Nash at nose. I think that third defensive tackle, defensive end spot is a really interesting position. And like as I'm starting to pencil this in, there's like four guys I'm like rotating there because I don't know if it's going to be Judy. I don't know if it's going to be Gunnarsson. I don't know if it's going to be Princewell. Like there's a lot of names that can fill that spot. And while I do worry about the other spot when Ty Robinson has to go off the field, because that strong side defensive end is going to be tough to replace. Like, I do think this is going to be a surprise in a lot of people's eyes. But you're not replacing Garrett Nelson. You're not replacing O'Shawn Mathis with freshmen at this point. It's just that's too much of a task.
I mean, you're not even really replacing Colton Feast, are you?
Yep. No.
Oh. The one good thing you got going for you against Minnesota, though, is they're replacing almost their entire offensive line this year. I think they got their center and maybe one of their tackles coming back.
Yeah, so.
So maybe a little inexperience there helps us out a little bit too.
All right, so to recap, defensive line, we're actually unanimous here. Worse across the board. Moving to linebacker, key losses, Ernest Hausman, we lost him. He was so good as a freshman last year. Transferred to Michigan. That's a kick in the nuts there. Also lose Caleb Tanner, outside linebacker. Key returners, looking good. Luke Reimer, who led in tackles, he's back. Nick Henrich, who started last year, had some injuries, he's back. And then I'm even going to throw Jamari Butler in there. Key transfers, MJ Sherman from Georgia, another Georgia kid, and Chief Borders from Florida. And the staff is high on them. These guys look like they're going to be major contributors, so that is very good. Impactful freshman, Maverick Noonan, is a guy to keep an eye on. And I'm going to throw something out with Eric Fields. I know Matt Rhule and staff, they liked him coming out of high school in Oklahoma, Ardmore, I believe. Really fast kid. So I think he's a guy that to keep an eye on in the linebackers. But overall, I finally like the fact that, you know, we have a lot more depth behind Luke Reimer and Nick Henrich. And guys like MJ Sherman, Chief Borders, that makes this linebacker room much, much better. A lot of experience out there. This is a good group. Tyler.
Yeah, I agree with you, Justin. I think this is a better room. I think Nick Henrich not having to play that inside may help him sticking up health-wise. He's probably going to move to a little bit more of that outside spot in that 3-3-5. Hopefully that'll help him stay healthy. I mean, I do agree with you better. I do like Ernest Hausman. Sucks that he left, but I do think bringing in MJ Sherman, he is definitely capable to replace him in that thing. You look at some of that depth with Randolph Kapai, as you look down Jamari Butler down that, it's deep. It's good. I'm a big fan of this offense or linebacker group.
Derek.
You guys are kind of talking me into trying to go better here, but I went with same.
What?
Because right now I'm betting on Henrich, Reimer, and Jamari Butler, the ones I know. MJ Sherman, I know it's gonna be. I know he was a stud coming out of high school. Did he have a lot of experience before he came here?
Define a lot of experience.
Well, I mean. Not that I could tell, it didn't seem like he had a ton of it.
No, I mean, he was at Georgia for a long time. Game time experience, not a lot, but I mean, you're playing at Georgia. I mean, they have the best defense year in, year out.
I get it. And I like Chief Borders. I like these guys. I need a little prove it time with them.
Yeah, that's fair.
So until I get some prove it time with them, I'm gonna stick with same.
So you're sticking with same. All right.
So just real quick, I just was flipping through my notes. So MJ Sherman had 136 snaps on defense in 2021 and 2022, and he had 308 on special teams. So while definitely not like a main contributor to Georgia, but you are talking about the best defense in college football over the last two or three years. I mean, the fact that he's getting any snaps is probably a good thing. But yeah,
that's fair.
I was flipping through that pretty quickly, but. Yeah, I think that Luke Reimer is, I mean, he is in that very small group of best players on this team. Like, when I start thinking about who is the best guys on this team, he is definitely in that category.
And look, by saying they're the same, like, I didn't think our linebackers were bad last year. I still think it's a good group.
Yeah. That's fair.
All right, final category or final position group, defensive backs, Tyler.
Yep. For key losses, I have Brandon Moore is really the only key loss I wrote down. For key returners, Miles Farmer, Marquez Buford, Hartzog, Quentin Newsome, and Isaac Gifford. So key transfers, Corey Collier comes in from Florida. And for freshmen, I have Ethan Nation and Dwight Boodle II, all the freshmen. So this, to me, is the best position group on the team. You know, last year, Quentin Newsome had 10 pass breakup. Miles Farmer, Tommy Hill, who I did not mention, both had 4 pass breakups. Buford and Gifford both had 3. Hartzog had 3 interceptions. Gifford and Farmer both top 3 in team and tackles. I mean, this is the best position group. I think this is among the 4 or 5 best defensive backs in the Big Ten. I think Quentin Newsome has been horribly underrated. I think he has a breakout year and a potential all Big Ten in his future. Again, 10 pass breakups last year. He turns a few more in those interceptions this year. That's going to play a long ways. So last year, I think this room was good. I think last year they struggled a little bit because they were playing so many new guys. You know, Hartzog was getting his first meaningful snaps. Tommy Hill was getting his first meaningful snaps. Buford was getting his first meaningful snaps. I mean, even Miles Farmer had been behind. Basically, that was his first year getting a full year starting. Isaac Gifford, first time getting time starting because he was behind JoJo Doman. So these guys, last year, they grew a lot, but I think they're going to take that huge step forward this year. So I'm psyched about this room. I'm going to go better.
Yeah, it's definitely better. We don't lose anybody. Return everybody. And out of the five key returners that you named, only Quentin Newsom is a senior. So all these guys are coming back again. And guys, there's other depth out there like Omar Brown. Omar Brown, he played last year. He's got experience on the field. And a walk-on favorite, he's a fan favorite, at least for me, is a Phelan Sanford. Athletic dude. He's coming back. I believe he started a game last year, late in the year. He's in that backfield also. I mean, this is definitely the best position group next year. So I have better as well. Derek.
All right, well, I have better as well, and for all the reasons you guys talked about. Tyler, you kind of talked about Quentin Newsom being a little underrated. Well, maybe it's because I don't even know if he's the best corner on this team. I love Malcolm Hartsock. I think this guy's a stud. I think he's going to shine. I think he only touched his potential last year, and he led the team in interceptions last year. I think this guy's going to just continue to get better. Isaac Gifford, I think, is going to continue to get better. All these guys are going to continue to get better. This room is, you guys are right. This is probably the deepest and strongest room that we have.
And they might have playing for Nebraska's top assistant coach also in Evan Cooper. I mean, Cooper might be our best assistant coach, and playing for him, oh. Going to be nice.
He's definitely one of our more experienced, so
it's true. So, all right, so defensive backs, we are all better there. So, Derek, looking at how you kind of see this defense, you know, you had worse for defensive line, same for linebacker, and better for defensive back. Overall, do you think we'll be improved on defense compared to last year? Or
yes, yeah, I think
we'll be improved.
Yeah, I think the scheme alone will make it better.
Tyler, I guess I'll ask you as well.
Yeah, I mean,
top 25 defense.
Damn right. Oh, that's right. That's right. This is preseason, Tyler. Preseason, Tyler always says top 25. It doesn't matter if who's coaching. Kevin Cosgrove could be coaching.
But we have a good coach. I'm a big Tony White fan. I think his scheme is going to be there. Again, the weakest position is defensive line. And while it is clearly the weakest position on the defense, I don't think it's a bad group. I think this is a better defense. I think the more interesting question is offense. Will we be better or worse?
I think we'll be better.
I think we'll be better at running, worse at passing.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably where I think that's exactly right, Derek. I think... Now, will the makeup in running be enough to make up the passing? I don't know.
That's going to be the big question. But I will say this. I wonder if having a fullback or Janoren Bonner back there is going to – I wonder how much that's going to help the running backs. And can we see our running backs actually break some big runs? Because we haven't seen that for a couple of years, it seems like. We've seen some quarterbacks break some pretty big runs, but not really running backs. We've seen some wide receivers make some pretty big runs.
Yeah, last year we damn sure didn't see a lot of running backs make some big plays.
So I'm wondering if you get that lead blocker, how much that's going to help him.
I mean, how often is the full? I mean, how many snaps a game do you expect to see a fullback?
That's a good question. I don't know.
10 at most. Will there be 10? I don't know. All right. So that was fun. That's always the better, same, worst game. God, that's one of my favorite games to play. Last topic here. As you know, we have a lot of newcomers, a lot of new faces here between transfers, JUCO, and freshmen. Tyler, who are your top five newcomers headed into 2023?
Well, this was hard. I don't know what it was like last year. I think we did this a couple years now. Definitely we did this last year. I don't think it was this hard last year. So I might throw a curveball or two that you weren't expecting, but my number five is Jeff Sims. I know I came off maybe a little harsh on him in the quarterback. This isn't because I don't think he's a good player. I think this guy will play. I think he is definitely deserving to be in the top five. So that's my fifth. Corey Collier, number four. I think he's going to fight for playing time last year, and we just raved about how well we think this defensive back room is. I think he is going to be a contributor, probably not starter, but I think he's going to play meaningful snaps. I think he's definitely that guy. Number three, Malachi Coleman. I think Malachi Coleman, not only what his future at Nebraska is, which is going to be great, I think next year he's an immediate contributor. He's going to be vying, I believe, for a starting spot in a kind of a weak room. It would not shock me if he ends up being our number one wide receiver. Number two, Princewell Umanayan. Pretty close on that one.
Yeah, it's closer than what I thought you'd get.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, again, I think he's a guy that's going to be fighting for a starting spot. I told you guys earlier, I was kind of messing around with depth. I ended up leaving him as my number one. I think he has a really good shot to be a really good shot to be a starting defensive tackle for us. And number one, the guy who I have as a starting linebacker, MJ Sherman. Dude, that guy came up and he played in the spring game. He had four tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss. He's a former five-star out of Georgia, has that national championship pedigree. I think he's going to be a starter next year. I think he is going to be a huge contributor in that really strong linebacker room. I do have a couple honorable mentions, but I'll let you guys go before I throw those out.
Go ahead, Derek.
All right, well, my number five was MJ Sherman. I want to see a little more out of him, but I do think there's a lot of potential with him, and I think he's going to have a ton of playing time. I agree with you, Tyler. I mean, he's a five-star guy. He's going to be a stud. I went with Malachi Coleman at number four. I think, well, I don't know if he's going to have a ton of playing. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be like a number one wide receiver, but I think he's going to get plenty of playing time, and he'll get thrown to quite a bit. Number three, I went with Jeff Sims. He's gonna impact the game negatively or positively because he's gonna have the ball in his hand every single play. So you gotta get him in there. Number two, I went with Cameron Lenhart. I think he's another one that really played well in the spring game. I think he's gonna push for some starting time. And Principal Old Man Melan. That was my number one guy.
Wow. Okay, I actually went 10 deep because we have so many guys to choose from. But my top five, number five, MJ Sherman, he's going to be a stud. Number four, Malachi Coleman. Derek, I made a face because your five and four were exactly mine. Number three, I threw in Billy Kemp. I think this is exactly what the wide receiver room needs. They need some because it's not impressive, but he gives them a spark. Number two, and I can't believe this guy was not on your list. I think this guy is absolutely essential, and that is Ben Scott at center. Yeah,
Ben Scott.
So
yeah,
Ben Scott is my number two guy. And number one, I got to go with the quarterback. The quarterback, he's going to be the top newcomer, and he damn sure better be, because if we want to see a bowl game or go beyond, it's all going to go through Jeff Sims' hands. So there's a lot of hope there, but I think in Matt Rhule offense, this guy can shine. So that's my top five. Tyler, yeah.
Ben Scott ahead. Was right there. He was my like number six. It was between him and Jeff Sims. I was back and forth on who to put in my top five. I did have Cameron Lenhart as one of my honorable mentions also, and Billy Kemp. I mean, I think that there was no name that you guys mentioned. I don't think that, like, I only had three honorable mentions down, but yeah, I mean, again, another year, but more so than even last year, a year going to be defined by these newcomers.
Yeah, I had Lenhart and Princewell. I had them at 7 and 8 on there. I think they will shine. Six, I had your guy, Corey Collier at safety. Number nine, I put an Eric Gilbert there at nine because just of what he should show if he can get back to the LSU thing. And then just to round out 10, I put Elijah Judy in.
Yeah, a good list.
I have Elijah Judy in my honorable mentions. Billy Kemp was a tough one. I ended up leaving him off, but he was tough to...
I'm shocked, Derek. If you would have told me, I would have lost money there. I would have bet he was going to be your number one.
That's where I thought he was headed as he's giving his countdown down. I was like waiting for Billy Kemp because Derek's been like Billy Kemp's like number one fanboy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying I'm his number one fanboy. I don't know if he's the number one guy, but if he don't have 500 yards this year, I'd be shocked.
And that's probably a good target if he stays healthy. Derek, I guess that's the thing is my concern back on that wide receiver room. I think that 500, 600 yards is a good target for him. I just don't think that's enough what our room needs. Like, so that's where my problem is.
I think it is because I think we have enough other talented guys.
I mean,
if I can get 500 out of him and 500 out of Marcus Washington, I've already made up for what Trey Palmer did last year.
Spencer Rattler threw for 3,000 yards. I mean, I think we're going to throw more than you're giving credit for. I don't think we're going to be a.
So you think the staff's lying to us about focusing on the run and wanting to run the ball?
Oh my God, there's never been a staff that's ever lied to us about running the ball more and using the tight end more. I mean, if they said that, I mean, that'd be the first time I've ever heard a coaching staff at Nebraska say that they want to run the ball more and use the tight end more. I'd be shocked.
Yeah, I think that goes all the way back to Billy Callahan.
Yeah. It's a go-to. Do I think we're going to – is it going to be Mark Whipple's offense? No. I think they are counting on Jeff Sims to be able to throw the ball for 2,500-plus yards next year. I think that –
he's never had 2,000.
I understand that. That's what scares the shit out of me. I just don't think we're going to be a 2,000-yard rushing team. Like, I mean, if you're not throwing for,
I think if our offense is going to be any good, we're going to have close to that 2,000 yards rushing.
Because, like, what is an? Does anybody have like?
If I'm relying strictly on Bill or Jeff Sims' arm, dude, I don't think our offense is going to be good at all.
I mean, Justin, I want to look something up real quick. So. Give your take on this.
Take on the how many yards passing or I mean,
but just what you think of the team.
Boy, how much time do we got here? We're at the end of an episode, man.
So last year, if you're an average offense in college football, you were 5,200 total yards. That was about the average last year in offense. Okay, so I think to myself. If that is going to be that 5,000-yard, 5,200-yard average, like if we're going to do that, we're going to need 2,000 yards rushing, which is – that's a big number for Nebraska.
So for what it's worth, Phil Steele, he always has the projected stats for team, right? For Nebraska in 2023, he has Nebraska at 176.6 yards rushing. And 191.5 yards passing. So through 12 games, I mean, that's going to be
2,300 yards.
Say again?
That's 2,300 yards.
2,300 yards passing.
So I think that's what I'm trying to back into right there, Derek. Is like if we're going to need to throw the ball 2,500 yards, who's going to catch those passes? And obviously there's a lot of names you could throw out. That's where I think we're lacking is I just don't know if we have the pass catchers to help Jeff Sims enough and to get there. So that, I don't know.
But, you know, that's also, you know, 2,100 yards rushing also. So something's got to give a little bit, doesn't it?
Well, I hope we can get 20. I would love to see us get 2,000 yards next year rushing. I love that he says that.
How many of those do you think Jeff Sims will
account
for?
But he also says Luke Reimer's not going to start. Yeah. So you can't take anything he says seriously.
Say that again?
He also says Luke Reimer's not going to start. So you can't take anything he says seriously.
I think Jeff Sims is good for 500 yards next year. That would be a high for his career.
Yeah.
I think 400 to 500 yards is a reasonable expectation for him running the ball.
What would he ran for what last year? 288 and a TD?
I think he averaged about 300 yards rushing per season in his career. But he played
six games last year, 288. So, I mean, shoot, 50 yards a game. So, yeah.
I don't remember year by year, but he had 1,155 yards rushing in his 3 years.
So, I don't know.
And 11 touchdowns to go with it.
So I love playing this position game because then it gets us sparks a lot more conversation. So we have a lot more off-season left, so we can kind of rehash these later. So we're going a little bit long. You guys have any parting shots before we get out of here? No? All right.
Oh, I'm good. Hey, see you this weekend.
Oh, yes, this weekend. I'll see you on Friday. Tyler, yeah. You come on Friday too?
I'll be there Friday.
All right. So I guess since you guys talk about my, I'm old. My daughter's getting married this weekend. Oh my God. It's crazy, isn't it?
Well, congratulations, Andrea.
Yes, congratulations, Andrea. She doesn't listen to the show. She doesn't even know I podcast. I mean, what are you guys talking about? So. Be sure to follow the Husker Cuscast on Twitter at Husker Cuscast. Like us on Facebook. Look for episodes anywhere you get your podcasts. Hit that subscribe button and don't forget to rate and view. On behalf of Derek and Tyler, we want to thank everybody for listening. As always, go Big Red.